Well, it's good to see everybody here today. And we've got some folks here who are very unhappy already. That's not a good sign. But we're so glad everyone's here. It's good to see all of you here tonight. My name's Joe. And we're here to learn a little bit. We have a Bible class right now. We appreciate all of you being here. You know, one of our passions is getting people closer to God. And that's what we're all about. Is what is our relationship to God? And how would we characterize that relationship? Would we say it's a good relationship or a poor one? We think it's important, and we really believe that it's important for a person to have a strong relationship with God. And so sometimes people are trying to get that relationship with God, but they are hindered. And sometimes they're hindered because they just have a lack of knowledge about the Bible, or sometimes they're hindered because they've got friends who are kind of who have some very good intentions but have the wrong ideas. Sometimes folks will even be going to see religious folks, and those religious folks will have the wrong idea about what to do. So, you know, we were sitting around thinking, well, what can we do to help get people closer to God without leading people in the wrong way or doing the wrong thing? And we thought, well, a way we could do that is just to have a Bible study. Now, the reason we think that it's important for us to consider what does the Bible say is because we've got three premises for you tonight. And the first one is that the Bible is the Word of God. And we think that that's extremely important for us. And you may disagree with that concept, but we think that that's a good place to start. Jesus himself, in fact, the Bible calls itself the Word of God, which I think is interesting. And Jesus himself says in John 17:17, he says, your word, speaking to God in prayer, your word is truth. And if God's word is truth, as Jesus says, then we can take that to the bank, as they say. We think that that's important. We think that this connection with God can begin when we accept the words that are in the Bible because these are words of truth. Second thing we said was, you know, if we want to know what God wants or what God expects or what God prefers or what God directs, then we need to be people who understand what the Bible says. And we feel strongly that 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says that the person of God can be complete by means of the Word, the Bible. And we think that that's significant for us tonight. And third, we believe with all of our hearts that the Bible that you hold in your hands is understandable. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5 says that when we read it, we can understand. And we think that that's an important concept for us, too. So with this sort of what does the Bible say mentality, then we got together and we said, well, let's figure out what God says about ways in which we can worship him. And so that quest to understand that premise is what became the basis or the foundation for tonight's lesson. And I'm so excited that we have the speaker that we do tonight. I think he's going to do a great job for us. We're so glad you're here. My first question is, does everyone have a Bible? Is there anyone here who does not have a Bible? That's good. Y'all all came prepared. That's very good. We have Bibles here. If you need a Bible, you find your Bible doesn't work, we've got a Bible for you in the back, and we can grab a Bible for you. Luke and Sam will help you out and bring that to you. I want to talk about our process for this evening. First of all, I want you to know who our speaker is. Our speaker for tonight is George Day. He's in the back. George does not have a Doctorate of Divinity degree. He also is not a graduate of any theological seminary. He is, however, an excellent Bible teacher and a very good Bible student, and that is what commends him to us. He is very interested in what the Bible says. He's not interested in what common thinking is out there in the religious world. He's not interested in what's popular. He's interested in what does the Bible say. And that makes him, for me, a very exciting speaker, and we're glad he's here. George is going to speak for us for about 30 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, but not much longer than that. He's going to give us information on what the Bible says about prayer. And we think that that's an important topic for us this evening. I think you're going to find him thoughtful in every one of his comments, and I think even more than that, you're going to appreciate the fact that every point that he makes tonight, he's going to back up with a scripture. And that's significant, we think, because if we need to know what the Bible says about a topic, then we need to not be making assertions from this place, but we need to be saying what the Bible says, because the Bible is our authority in religion. My next question is, does everyone have an index card? Does anyone need an index card? Everyone have a pencil or pen? All right, with an index card and a pencil or pen, you're ready. As the presentation is being made, as you have questions, we ask you please to write those down on the index card. And after our 30-minute presentation by George, we're going to pick up those index cards, we're going to send them all to the front to George, and he's going to answer our questions. So we're looking forward to that. We're not going to take questions during this presentation, but we welcome your written questions on the cards. That would be great. If you need any help during this presentation, if you would prefer not to write your question down, but you'd like for us to write it down for you, then Luke or Sam in the back will be glad to help you out, and they can help you. If you'll just raise your hand during the presentation, they can come up and assist you. I want to thank you for being here tonight, and I'd like for us to begin, please, with a prayer. Would you please pray with me? Our Holy Father in heaven, we glorify you and we praise your name. We thank you so much, Father, for this opportunity that we have to learn from your word. We ask that you would open our hearts and open our ears this evening. And we ask that you would be with the speaker, that he may glorify you and show us what the Bible says. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
At this time then, George, the presentation is all yours.
Well, I'm pushing the record button here on my phone. If you want to go ahead, if your Bible has a bookmark, we're going to be in Luke chapter 18 a few times, so you might want to go ahead and mark that. As already said, we're going to be looking at prayer tonight. And I'm sure everybody in this room has prayed at one point in their life. We're going to look at some questions. Like, have you ever thought about prayer? Why am I praying? Why do Christians pray? Have you ever wondered exactly what prayer is? Why do we need to pray? And then we'll also be looking at, are you following the Scripture? Are we praying the way that God would want us to pray? So the first thing we need to look at then is we need to understand what prayer is. The question is, what is prayer? Let's go to Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we can see from this scripture right here, we have an example of two men who went to communicate with God. One of them is a good example. One of them is not necessarily a good example. We won't go into that right now. But what I want you to see from this verse is it's a way of us communicating with God. And we'll also see that in Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 13. And this is Jesus teaching us how to pray. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in the secret place will reward you openly. And you, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. And we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So we can see that from this verse that, it's a way with communicating to God, and we'll go into a little bit more detail on verses 9 through 13 later, but it's a way for us to ask for forgiveness, to praise His name, and ask for requests to him. It's our way of communicating with him. Just a side note, you'll see in verse 7, it says, do not use vain repetitions. And then again, you'll see in verse 9, it says, in this manner. It's not saying that we should pray this prayer every single time verbatim. It's not a recital or memorization. You'll see it's in this manner, like this way. We're to pray to God like this. Another, what is prayer? It's we can learn from is it's a way of expressing our heart's desire to God. And we can see that in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. And we'll see that in this verse that Paul is speaking to the Romans, and he's letting them know that his heart's desire and his prayer to God is that they may be saved. You can see that there's a connection there between his heart's desire and his prayer to God. And he's letting them know that. And also we'll see that it's a way of expressing our heart's desire in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So again, if we are letting our requests be known to God, it's easy to say that it's our heart's desire if we're requesting it to Him. So prayer is our way of communicating with God, and it's a way of letting Him know our heart's desire to Him. And also, it's a privilege to pray to God. And we'll be looking at this a little bit further. Let's look at what prayer isn't from what we've learned that it is. One thing we can learn that it's not just babbling out loud. It's not babbling out loud to just anybody or someone somewhere out there. It's an actual, prayer is a way of communicating with God. It's not just pondering things to yourself, going through your daily list. And then when Jesus was teaching, he says, don't use memorized lines. It's not just reciting memorized lines, going through our daily task or thinking of how great we are. It's actually communicating with God, our Creator. So if we know what prayer is, let's take a look at who we're praying to and why. I'm sure everybody knows that we're praying to God. We've already stated that. But let's look at our relationship with God. Why would we want to pray to God? First, let's go to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter, and all we are the work of your hand. So we can see from this verse that He's our Father, and we're actually the work of His hands. He's our Creator. Why would we want to pray to God? It's pretty obvious. He created us. Just like we physically come from our parents, we have a need to go to them. They have experience. God has experience. He's the one who created everything that we see. We can also see this in, let me find my place here. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, that he may let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." You see in these verses that God created us again, and He created us in His image. And not only did He do that, He put us in charge of earth and everything that's on it. So we would need to go to God. We need to have a communication with Him and know how to rule over everything that He's put us in charge of. We need to have that relationship with Him. Let's continue to look at this question. Why would we want to have a desire or a need to communicate with our Creator? And let's go to Psalm 94, verses 16 through 19. Psalm 94, verses 16 through 19. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitudes of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. We can see that we should have a desire to have a communication with God, because as it says in verse, by my place here, in verse 17 at the end, He's actually our help. In verse 18, He can be merciful unto us, and in verse 19, He actually comforts us. It makes sense to have a relationship with our Creator, the one that's going to help us and be merciful and comfort us. Why wouldn't you want to have a relationship with somebody like that? And also, He delivers the righteous out of trouble. We see this in Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. So our Lord actually hears us. He hears the righteous, and not only does He hear us, He doesn't leave it at that. He actually delivers us out of our troubles. So it makes sense to have a relationship or want to seek Him. Just like when we have car troubles, or we have any kind of troubles that would need a doctor, or our cell phone gets broken, we would go to the cell phone store. Anytime we have troubles, we can go to God. And maybe when we have those kind of troubles, we should actually go to Him first. He also gives wisdom liberally to those who ask. We see that in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If we ask God for wisdom, He's actually going to give it to us liberally, without reproach. He's willing to do that for us. So we should be seeking to have communication with Him for that reason. And also, He's almighty. All things are possible with God. Let's go to Matthew 19, verse 26. Matthew 19, verse 26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So we're not able to do things. There's some things that are just impossible for us. But God, everything is possible. We should want to have a relationship with somebody who's able to do all things. When we're not able to do them, somebody's going to help us out and give us wisdom. You can also read about His almighty power in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So it tells us he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all things we ask or think. So if you try to think of something that God can't do, and he can do it. There's nothing we can't think of. He's there for us, willing to help us out, as long as it's according to his will. We do have an almighty God. Also, he's willing to grant us good things. We'll read that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. For everyone who asks and receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? You can see from this verse that if we're willing to ask him, he's willing to grant us good things. And if we read on to verses 9 through 11, he's not only is he going to grant us good things, we can see he's actually concerned about our needs. Verses 9 through 11. Well, what man is there among you if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good things to those who ask him? We don't have a cruel God. If we ask him for a fish, he's not going to give us a serpent. He's actually going to give us what we need according to his will. And he's willing to do that. He's willing to come down from heaven to help us that are down here on earth, us lowly people. He loves us that much. So we should have a desire to communicate with God because he's our help. He's our mercy and comfort. He's willing to deliver us out of our troubles. He gives us wisdom liberally. He's almighty. All things are possible with him. He's willing to grant us good things, and he's actually concerned with us. Let's look at why else there is a need for prayer. And we're going to look at prayers actually commanded by the Bible. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Actually, let's start off in verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we can see in verse 18, it ends telling us, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And what is the will of God? It's for us to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks. And when we say, or when the Bible says pray without ceasing, doesn't mean, oh, we can't eat anymore. We got to stop everything. We got to pray until we die. It's not saying that. It's saying that we need to pray consistently. We need to always be thinking about prayer. It should always be something that's in our mind, as well as rejoicing and giving him thanks. So we need to pray because we're told to. We're commanded to. And we'll also see this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And this is Paul speaking here, and he's saying that he has a desire, therefore, for men to pray everywhere. And he has a desire for that because he learned that from Christ. And he knows that we should have a desire to pray and lift our hands without wrath and doubting. And we'll also see that the Bible commands us to pray in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. This was Christ teaching this parable, and he's telling us that we ought to pray and not lose heart. So again, we have a commandment to pray to God, as well as we do in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. I know we've already read this. I'm going to go ahead and read it again. This is Christ teaching us that we need to pray in the manner that we should be doing it. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So we need to pray to God, and we need to do it in the manner, likewise, in the way that Christ has taught us to. So we know from those four verses that we have a need to pray to God, because we are told we need to pray to God. And also we need to pray because it's an expression of our love and our adoration to God. We should be happy that He created us and that we're actually here today and we're able to do His will. And the Bible teaches us that. We just read it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's an example showing us that we need to give praise and show adoration to God. And we also see that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." So not only should we be thanking God for everything we have and the life that we have, we should be giving thanks for all things, and we should be giving thanks for the people in our lives. We have a commandment to do that. Well, also, we are, of course, sinful people. And sometimes we fall short, and we need to communicate with God and ask for forgiveness. And we can do this through prayer. We'll see this in Acts chapter 8, verse 22 through 24. And this was when Simon was getting rebuked by Peter because he was trying to take something holy and use it for a monetary gain. Starting off in verse 22. "Repent therefore of this, your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by your iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." And Simon knew immediately what he did wrong, and he knew that he needed to be right with God and that he needed to be forgiven. And likewise, when we fall short and we sin, we need to go to God and have communication with Him, asking for forgiveness as well. Another reason we need to pray is to follow Christ's example. We're told we need to do that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow His steps." So we're told right there that we're to follow His steps. We're to follow His example. Well, it doesn't say anywhere that Jesus prayed right here. So how do we know? Let's go to Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 35. Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 35. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. So there we have an example of Christ praying. And then we saw in 1 Peter that we're told to follow his example. So we know that we have a need to pray to God because we have a need to follow Christ's example. And also, we should want to pray because it does good. And the Bible has told us this. We'll see this in James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So not only does it do us good to pray, we're told that it does others good. And it's something that we should do. It pleases God, and it's very effective when we pray. Let's turn to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 and 7. Again, Christ is teaching this through the parable. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And if we go down to verse 7, it says, "And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with us?" So we know that if we go to God in prayer, he's actually willing to help us out, and it's going to do good. And finally, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it tells us we need to pray without ceasing. We need to pray without ceasing because it does good. So we know that we need and should have a desire to go to God in prayer, because it's going to help us. It's going to deliver us from trouble. We can go to him asking for wisdom. He's almighty and can help us out. All things are with him are possible. He's willing to grant us good things. The Bible tells us we have a need for prayer. We need to express our love to God. We actually need forgiveness. We need to follow Christ's example. And finally, it does good. It does good for us to pray to God. So in summary, you might ask, why do we need to pray? Maybe the better question is, why wouldn't you want to pray? Well, some would say, well, I don't have time to pray. Well, yes you do. God wouldn't tell you to do something if you didn't have time to do it. He wouldn't ask you to do something that was not possible. So if you tell yourself, I don't have time to pray, then you need to reprioritize your life. You need to find a way to make time to pray to him. Or maybe you say to yourself, well, everything is going well in my life. I don't need to pray. We still need to recognize God and thank him for everything that's going well in our life. Maybe when everything is going well in our life, it's one of the most important times that we pray to him, to let him know how thankful we are, and it'll keep us possibly in his good graces. And finally, you might say to yourself, well, when I pray to God, it doesn't make a difference. You might not think it does, but it actually does. And it teaches us that in James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So if you do pray, it does actually do well. So really, if you ask yourself, the only reason why I wouldn't pray to God, the only logical reason would be to say to yourself, well, I don't believe in God. And that's a very bad logic, but that's really the only logical reason not to pray to God. if you believe in God, you should pray to Him because He's going to help you out. That will conclude our lesson on prayer for the moment, and we'll be answering questions momentarily.
That's great, George. Thank you very much. I want to thank all of you as an audience as well because you have not applauded. And I know that I speak for George when I say that he is not looking for your applause, and he very much appreciates the fact that you do not applaud him. His interest is being God-approved, and so he's not seeking to be approved by people or getting your applause.
All right. Now is your chance. If you have any questions, we would like for you to have those on the index cards, please. I'm going to ask Lucas to come down in this direction. Just pass your questions in this way. I'm going to ask Sam to be over on this side. Just pass your questions this way and give them to the two of them. And that way we can have a look at your questions and ask those of our speaker tonight. And don't be shy. I know some of you all look like you're shy people, but don't be shy to ask the tough questions. All right. If you've got one, I'll take one. Thank you. Thank you. All right, George. I don't know how I'll leave you there with your Bible. Let's see. All right. This first question is about the concept of praying without ceasing, and the question is, what do you say we should do with respect to praying without ceasing? This is a question we've got for you.
The question is, what do you say we should do when it says pray without ceasing? Is that in context to what we should be saying when we're praying? Or it's kind of a general question. Can I get some, don't be bashful if you wrote it. I'd love to help you out, but I need to understand what the question is. Well, I hope I understand the question. When it tells us to pray without ceasing, it's telling us that we should be praying to God consistently and constantly. Let's go ahead and go to that verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Starting off in verse 16, I think that's a good place to start. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, this is basically saying we need to continually pray. We need to be consistent. It shouldn't be like spotty, 1 week here, another month here, I forgot about it for 2 years. It's something that we should be continually doing. Something that we should be doing every day, something that should always be in the back of my mind, or everybody's mind. Whenever you have some kind of trouble, one of your friends are sick, you're sick, anything you have going on in your life, you should know that you should be able to go to God and pray to Him without ceasing. I hope that answers your question. If you're too bashful, my email is georgeday@comcast.net. Shoot me that question. And if I didn't answer it right, we'll look at it again.
That sounds good. We've got another question. Can you pray with your eyes open?
I actually just asked that question not too long ago. And the answer is you can pray with your eyes open. It doesn't give us an example of anywhere in the Bible that you have to pray with your eyes closed. But one of the things that we need to consider when we go to prayer in God is that we're focused on praying to Him. It doesn't mean we should be talking on our cell phone with our eyes open, speeding down the highway and turning the music dial. Maybe that's not the right way to pray to God. But there's nothing wrong with you praying with your eyes open. If you want to go to your room or in your car and you're comfortable talking to God that way, then there's nothing wrong with that.
Got another question. We are not to use repetition in our prayers. Matthew 6, verse 7, don't use vain repetition. So why could Jesus repeat himself in his prayer in Gethsemane? Yes, with the same thing several times. And why could Paul do the same thing in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 and 8? When he asked for that thorn in the flesh to be taken, that thorn to be taken away from him.
The point of Jesus teaching us not to pray in repetition isn't that we can't ask for the same things over and over again, and even in the same way, but we shouldn't go to him. I know if you memorize something in school, you know, you have a test question or an essay that you got to read, so most of the time you read it, but you don't understand it. They teach you that memorization is the lowest way to learn something. You're not actually using it or applying it to your life. It's not that we can't go to God and ask him the same thing over and over again. It isn't that we can't go to him and pray in the same way, but it's more than just a repetition. It's actual communication with God. I hope that answers your question.
And the last question is, in Matthew 6, verse 10, Jesus prayed for the kingdom to come. Are we supposed to pray for the kingdom of Christ to come?
Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Let's go ahead and read the whole thing. Starting off in verse 9, Jesus is teaching to pray in this manner. He says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." This is a really good question, because we have Jesus praying for the kingdom to come, but if I understand it, the kingdom has already come. So I'm going to actually turn this one over to somebody who might be a little bit more knowledgeable on this. I don't know everything.
All right. Well, since we don't have a person more knowledgeable, I'll try and stumble along with that question. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says that at the very end, that Christ will turn over the kingdom to God, meaning that Christ has the kingdom right now. Remember, the book of Revelation calls Jesus Christ the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is already king of his kingdom. So in one sense, we could say, well, the kingdom of God has already come, hasn't it? And it's a beautiful thing that the Lord's kingdom is here. Hebrews will be very specific that we have come to a mountain that cannot be shaken. And his point is that we have come to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. And one of the components of that kingdom is the Lord's church, he says. So the kingdom is here. But in the second sense, I want you to think about this as well. This is the on the other hand. On the other hand, even though the whole world belongs to God, and you think about that, the whole world belongs to God, does everyone in the world obey the Lord right now? We want the kingdom to come individually to every person upon the earth, and that's why we're here with this Bible class tonight. You know, there might be somebody who is very far, far, far away from God. We want that person to be connected to God. We want that person to be within the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom that he has right now. And so this is our opportunity right now to get into that kingdom.
Thank you for helping me out with it.
Yeah, great. Any other questions? We have another card. Good.
How do you stop thinking the things that happen today when you're trying to pray? Let's let the Bible answer that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Christ is telling us, trying to help us out, give us a mindset of how to pray to God. It says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in the secret place will reward you openly. So when you go into your room and you shut your door and you pray to God, that's telling you that you're putting away all distractions that you have in your life at that moment. So if you are so distracted you can't stop thinking about the things that are going on in your today, you could actually turn that to taking that to Him. You know, it's okay to take the things that you're thinking about at that moment to God. If it's something that's distracting you, that you really don't need to take to God, such as, oh, the high score I got on my video game today, or the test, the grade I got, or I saw so-and-so and I remember them. If that's something that you're thinking about and you're not wanting to take it to God, what you want to do is do your best to go to a place where you're without distraction, something that you can clear your mind, except for when you're other things that you want to take to God. But if it's something that happened to you today that you need His help, then you should take it to Him.
Thank you, George. We appreciate so much your help tonight. Are there any other questions? We don't want to leave anyone out. We would be remiss if we did not thank you as well for being here this evening. Thank you so much for being here. It's very encouraging for us to see folks who are interested in studying your Bibles and doing the will of God. If you would like to have further Bible study, we want to encourage you to be here for the rest of the week. Tomorrow night we're going to be talking about praising God in our singing. And we want you to be back here tonight, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock if you can. I'm going to be right over there by the door. If you'd like to have a Bible study, you're welcome to see me. My name is Joe. George is going to be around as well. And if you'd like to have a Bible study, I want you to meet George, and he wants to meet you. And so at this time, we're dismissed.